Man, the Bible's alive tonight. Praise the Lord. We're going to look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100. We've been going through on Wednesday nights a series entitled Victorious Christian Living. And I want to go look at victory over ingratitude tonight out of Psalm 100. Psalm 100, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight as we study the word together to really have a heart of thanksgiving and praise to our God. And Lord, just a couple days we'll be gathering together as families, Lord, and having a nice meal. May the center point of our conversations be words of gratitude towards our God. And Lord, certainly each one of us go through many, many struggles in life, but God, you're still on the throne, you're still in control, and God, you still have something very special for each of us. And we've come here tonight, Lord, to praise you. And so bless the preaching of the word of God in Jesus' name, amen. Our text verse is verse 4, says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Approximately 105 times the word thanksgiving or thanks or being thankful is used in the scriptures. And I think many times we don't take time to think about how many times God says something or repeats something. But certainly if God uses the same phrase over and over again, then we ought to pay attention to what it has to say. And so this matter of having a spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving towards God. And each time they're used, there's three different words of thanksgiving or thanks or thankful that is used. And that's kind of the fill in for number two there. First of all, the word thanksgiving is used, and it means to give praise to God in reference to giving a confession. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word confession means to be in agreement with. And so when we talk about giving thanksgiving towards God, it means to be praising him because we're in agreement with who he is and what he has said and what he does. And so it's not just saying, oh, thanks. It's not just THX or whatever, you know. It's thanksgiving to the Lord is an acknowledgement, you're in agreement with him, and you're giving him praise. Well, another word that's used in the scriptures is the word thanks. There's thanksgiving and there is thanks, and not THX, but thanks, THANKS. And it means, every time where that's used, it means to throw. It's interesting, the tense and meaning of the word. It means to cast or the laud praise on someone or something, and certainly it's in reference to God as we go through the scriptures. And so we throw our praise on him. We laud it at him. And oftentimes I think we kind of have this idea of praise as me feeling all bubbly and fancy and excited, and boy, we're just praising the Lord. That's not what praise is. That's not what thanksgiving is. Thanks to God is throwing the emphasis on him, casting the acknowledgement towards him that he is the one who is worthy of praise. Then letter C is just being thankful. And oftentimes Paul talks about being thankful for the other believers and thankful to God. And to be thankful just means to be grateful, to be mindful of favors. In other words, you say, I'm thankful that you're acknowledging that there has been a favor bestowed upon you. So we say, I'm thankful to the Lord because I'm saved. Why is that? Because God has given to us salvation. He has favored us with salvation, and it's not something we deserve. It's a favor that he has thrown towards us. So we say, I'm thankful because of the fact that we're grateful that God has bestowed favors upon us. So when you think of those three words and how they're used in scripture, it really does declare for us that God wants us to have an attitude of gratitude. And he doesn't want us to be griping and complaining all the time. We all have plenty to gripe and complain about, and we all have sorrows and difficulties we have to go through, and we all at some time in our life and point of whatever it is we're dealing with have negative feelings of emotions and all that, but we need not to be overwhelmed by those things, but we need to be consumed with a spirit of thanksgiving and praise to our God. Because he's still worthy, he's still on the throne, he still has something he wants to teach us through the trials. And the hymns that we sang tonight are great hymns. They speak of the things that God has done for us. They laud our God. We express thanksgiving and praise to him because of all the magnificent things he has done for us. In our text verse, we see the conduct of a gratitude or a grateful heart. And notice it says in verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That's obedience to a command. When we talk about showing thanksgiving to God, it literally is a command. It says enter. It's not saying maybe enter. Hopefully you'll enter. It literally in the original language means it's a command. He's saying you enter. It's automatically you, the subject of the sentence is understood, it's you. So he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And so it's a command or an obedience to a command that he has given to us. But also there's an observance of the source of our thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And here it is, be thankful unto him and bless his name. So I'm going to obey what God has so declared for me to do, and he has declared and commanded me to come into his presence with a spirit of gratitude, with a spirit of thanksgiving, because I'm aware of the fact that he is the one who is the source of all that I have. And so it's easy to enter into the presence of God and be thankful and bless his name because of the fact we acknowledge everything that we have and are is because of who he is and what he has done. And so it's easy to obey and enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So victory over a spirit of ingratitude. They say that Christmas is the most depressing time of the year. They say that. It ought to be a joyous time. We celebrate the birth of Christ. But in the world, it's a depressing time for people. Certainly, Thanksgiving is not always looked at as a opportunity to be able to express praise and thanksgiving to God. It's looked at as a holiday to get off work and be able to gather together and eat a lot of food and watch a football game. But Thanksgiving is more than that. It is a time of entering into the gates of God to give him praise and honor for all that he is and what he has done. So here are some dangers of ingratitude. Why would God command us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving? Because of the fact there is a danger of having a spirit of ingratitude. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, the danger of becoming vain in your thoughts. Romans 1 and verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And may I say, that's the condition that America has become. There was a point where America knew God, but they started not glorifying God as God. And what happens? Neither were they thankful. You move away from praising the Lord and acknowledging who he is. It is very easy to come to a place of not being thankful or showing gratitude for who God is and what he has done in your life. Neither were thankful, and then it says, but became vain, which means empty, and in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. So the danger of having a spirit of ingratitude is falling into a place where we become vain in our thoughts. In other words, our thoughts have no value to them. Our thoughts are of ourselves only. It's generated and directed by the lust of the flesh only. And because of the fact, it's not that we didn't know God, it's because we didn't glorify God as God. And as a result of that, we start having empty thought process about how we live and who we are and how we respond to God. And Pastor Dwan and I were talking about this today, and it's just interesting to watch people in this journey they go on in their Christian life. They get all excited about being saved, and then all of a sudden they start becoming disconnected and indifferent about who God is and what God has done in their life, and then they start backing off from reading scripture, from praying, they back off from church, back off from Christian fellowship, and the next thing you know, they're consumed with the lust of the flesh. And why is it? Because their thoughts become vain. They have no value to them because they're no longer living their life based on the fact, I'm thankful that God saved me. I'm thankful that I have Christian fellowship. I'm thankful I get to worship the Lord. And I feel this is a duty. I think it's a burden. I think it's oppressive. And they have all these thoughts that get consumed with vanity. And it starts with a spirit of ingratitude. They know God, but they're not thankful for God. And the next thing you know, their whole life is messed up. And so there's a danger of allowing ingratitude to consume you because your thoughts will become vain. Notice there's also the danger of being void of peace. The person that's in the most turmoil in their life is someone who has removed themselves from the presence of the Lord, and they no longer enjoy the peace of God. Philippians 4:6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so it's very clear in the context. He says that we need to make our prayers and supplications with thanksgiving. The spirit of gratitude as we talk to God, giving our requests before him, and when we do that, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts. But see, if we develop a spirit of ingratitude, then we're not going to pray. We're not going to be in a spirit of supplication before the Lord. And we certainly are not going to let God know what our requests are, because we're going to try to figure it all out ourselves. Because we're not thankful for what God is doing at that very moment in our life. It may be a trial we're going through, but we need to be thankful for the trial because there is something that God wants to reveal to us about who he is. But if we're always dissatisfied with God's working in our life, we will develop a spirit of ingratitude that will cause us to lose the peace of God that passes all understanding. And so we need to be thankful for the Lord. There's another danger in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. There's a danger of being drawn away from faith in Christ. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7 says that we're rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So there is a position or a condition, if you will, that the believer has, is that we are built upon Christ. We're secure, we're established in our faith, and we are abounding within that based on our gratitude, our thanksgiving unto the Lord. Now, the next verse says this, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. See, if we're not thankful for being in Christ, if we're not thankful for being built upon Christ, we lose that spirit of gratitude because our faith is established on all that Jesus is. It is very easy for the world to come along and capture your thoughts and ensnare you, that literally will move you and remove you from your ability to live in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. The dangers of ingratitude. Isn't it interesting that each one of these things, with vain thoughts, void of peace, and being drawn away from the faith, all each one of these verses deal with vanity, emptiness, no substance whatsoever, and it's all a result of not being thankful for what God has done and what he is doing in your life. So there's dangers of having an heart that's not thankful unto the Lord. So sometimes we just need to make ourselves be thankful. Thank you, Lord. I tell you, I'm not rejoicing over tribulations I need to go through, but I'll tell you one thing. I need to be having a spirit of gratitude to God that He's with me in the midst of the tribulation. I'm not talking about morbid desiring to suffer. I'm talking about when the suffering comes, there is a spirit of thanksgiving to God that He does not abandon us. And so I don't want to fall into the danger of developing a spirit of ingratitude. Notice the practice of being grateful. How do we practice being thankful? First of all, we practice being thankful during times of severe adversity. Now, we know all about Daniel, and the kids sing the songs about Daniel in the lion's den and all these things. But you know, Daniel was thankful in the midst of the adversities that he was facing. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," in other words, he knew the controversy. He knew what was going to be, he was going to have to suffer. He understood the opposition that was against his ability to pray. When he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed, and here it is, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. See, he was willing to express a spirit of gratitude to his God during the times of severe adversity. So that tells me when problems come and trials come, and they will come, I need to be like Daniel and say, wait a minute, I know what the controversy is. I know what the trial is. I see it coming. It's in my face. But God, I'm still thankful for who you are. So during times of great adversity. Letter B there in your notes. You need to be thankful during when we're enjoying divine provision. In Matthew chapter 15, in verse 36, Jesus is providing in a miraculous way as he blesses the seven loaves and the fishes. It says, "And he took the seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled." So not only when we're during a time of adversity in life are we to be thankful, but when God is miraculously in a divine way providing for us, we need to remember to thank God.
Amen.
Here's the Son of God. He was thankful for the blessing of his Father on the loaves and the fishes as he feeds the multitudes. And so we need to always remember to sit down and be thankful. You know, sometimes I think we forget when we have abundance that there was times when we didn't have abundance. You know, I'm thankful the Lord has blessed me and my wife abundantly, and there'll be no shortage of food in my house on Thursday, I guarantee you. There's no shortage right now, amen? And you can tell that, praise the Lord. And now, but I remember a time when there was an abundance of food. I remember a time when we had to go in the grocery store and count the change and make sure we had enough to be able to pay for the food that we were going to put in the cart. And I'll tell you, when I sit down at the table, or any time I sit down to eat, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. I am truly thankful for God's divine provision in my life. And I don't just pray over my food because it's time to pray over the food. I pray over the food because I truly am thankful and that God has divinely provided for us. I'm thankful for the goodness of God. We need to be thankful when we're remembering God's redemption. In Matthew chapter 26, and Jesus, as he institutes the Lord's Supper, he expresses thanksgiving to his Father. In Matthew 26, in verse 26, it says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and break it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it.'" So this was a time of him revealing to his disciples that he was going to provide the redemption for their soul. And at that very moment, he offered thanks to his Father. He offered a spirit of gratitude to his Father in heaven Why? Because redemption was going to be complete. The symbolism of the bread and the juice of the body and the blood that would be shed speaks to the redemption of God. Never, listen, never get to a place where you're not ready to express thanksgiving and praise to God because you're saved. God paid a great price for your soul, and it was the offering of his own son. Notice in Romans chapter 16, we need to offer thanksgiving in acknowledging the sacrifice of others. I think sometimes we forget to do that, but in Romans chapter 16, Paul was in chapter 16 really giving a list and a resume, if you will, of people that he was thankful for. And in chapter 16 of Romans, in verse 4, it says, "Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." And we ought to thank God and never get to a place where we don't want to thank God for those who have laid down their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. And we would not, listen, we would not have the liberty to have the service we're having tonight if there were not people who have laid down their lives so that we could do so. And we need to always have a spirit of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord because of those who have sacrificed themselves. In Ephesians chapter 1, we need to be thankful in rejoicing in fellow believers. In Ephesians chapter 1, acknowledging, Paul always is acknowledging people that were co-laborers in Christ with him. In Ephesians 1:15, it says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And we need to have a spirit that is thankful for fellow believers. And we don't always agree on everything. We're not always best of friends, it seems like sometimes. And if there's ever some scrapping that goes on, it's between believers. But I think we ought to have a spirit that rejoices with a spirit of thanksgiving for fellow believers in Christ. Notice also Colossians 3:17, that we ought to express thanksgiving for surrendering every aspect of our life. Sometimes we act like, well, it's a burden for me to surrender my life to the Lord. No, it's a spirit of thanksgiving. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So when we surrender ourselves to the Lord, it's not a grudging type of a thing. It's not a resentful type of response. It's a rejoicing. It's a surrendering with thanksgiving and praise to God. But also this matter of igniting true worship. And I'm always excited when I feel that God is bringing me into a spirit of a worship before him. And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, Paul once again helps us to understand this. He says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And so entering into this matter of giving a praise and worship to God because of all that he has done in our lives. And so there's a multitudes of practical ways in which we express gratitude. And so let's be careful that we don't just allow griping and complaining to consume our thought process. And let's truly, in every area, in every thought process of our life, give God praise and thank him for his goodness. Well, the fulfillment of thanksgiving. And notice it is the profound center of the will of God. And, you know, oftentimes people say, well, I would like to know what is the will of God for my life. And the bottom line is, it is a matter of having a grateful heart. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." People have come to me over the years and they say, well, you know, I'm going through this situation right now. What is the will of God for my life right now? I'm trying to discern the will of God. I'll tell you one aspect of the will of God is you need to be thankful. Amen. Yeah, but you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm saying. No, you don't understand. The center focus point, profound center of the will of God is this matter of thanksgiving. And so acknowledging that. Notice in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 that this fulfilling of thanksgiving is the sacred pledge of the heart. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in verse 13 says, but we are bound. I like how he says that we're bound. It's a pledge. When you pledge something, you're bound to fulfill that. He says, but we are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And Paul said, we are bound. It is a sacred pledge of my heart to offer a spirit of thanksgiving to God for you. Man, what a binding, important position to be in. But it is important. This matter of thanksgiving is an important element in our prayers. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 1, Paul says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. It is very clear that supplications is prayer. Prayers is the actual prayer conversation that you're having. Intercession is going in front of the Lord on behalf of someone else. He ties all three aspects of prayer together with giving thanks. And so this matter of giving thanks, the fulfillment of thanksgiving, is an important element in our prayers. I don't think God's pleased with our prayers when all we do is we go to God and complain about things, or we go to God and just make requests for things, or we go to God and beg for things that happen in our life, and we don't take any time to say, thank you, Lord. And so our prayers, a vital part of our prayers, is this matter of thanksgiving. In Revelation chapter 11 and verse 17, we see that it is the joyful expression of praise in heaven. What is that? It's thanksgiving. In Revelation chapter 11 in verse 17, the 24 elders, of course, in verse 16 are before the Lord, and they're saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And so here is the joyful expression of praise before God in heaven is literally this matter of giving thanks. I'll tell you, it's amazing to go through and just look at how many times God says thanks, thanksgiving, or thankful, and how it encompasses every aspect of the Christian life. It has nothing to do with whether we're going through a trial or not. It has everything to do with who our God is and what he has done. I like these quotes. I found these and I thought I'd put them in the lesson. Charles Spurgeon said, it is not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness. And I'm afraid that we have focused too much on being thankful based on how much we have, rather than just enjoying what we have. Amen. You know, I remember when we were in Bible college and a car broke down and my wife needed a car and to go to church, and the car had broke down and I needed a car to go to work. And I'll tell you, I was thankful that I had a bicycle, because I'll tell you, it was probably about 8-9 miles, I guess, to work from where I was. And that's a long way to walk. But I'll tell you one thing, it wasn't so bad because I had a bicycle. And sometimes we could take a look at a situation like and just get griping and complaining and angry and resentful. And why me? I'm trying to go to school, to go into ministry, and I'm trying to go to work. I'm trying to pay my bills, and God just lets my car break down. I mean, what kind of God will do that? No, I said, well, praise God. God gave me a bicycle, amen? And I rode that bicycle to work. And I'll tell you one thing right now. God, the perspective that God gives us creates happiness in us when we are just thankful for who the Lord is. So it's not about what you have. It's just a matter about whether you're happy with what you have. Notice John Piper said this, genuine thankfulness is an act of the heart's affections, not an act of the lips' muscles. In other words, Thanksgiving isn't me saying, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And in my heart, I have resentment. That's not thankfulness. Thankfulness is the emotion of my heart. I am stirred by the reality of who God is and what he does in our life. Andrew Murray said this, let us thank God heartily as often as we pray that we have his spirit in us to teach us to pray. Thanksgiving will draw our hearts out to God and keep us engaged with him. It will take our affection from ourselves and give the spirit room in our hearts. My, if we might be able to get to a place where we understand that our goal is to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and we are literally to enter into his courts with praise and to be thankful to him and bless his name. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter if it's good times, bad times, indifferent. It doesn't matter. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving and praise so we can get a victory over a spirit of ingratitude. A spirit of griping can be removed if I just start thanking the Lord Amen. For who he is and what he has done. Well, it's a great chapter. Read through that and study over it a little bit. I know I've preached different sermons out of that passage, and I've always enjoyed Psalm 100, and you can get so much out of there. You just take some time and read it through. I need to pray tonight. And